Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Ditang Tung Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Ditam Sham Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhagavad Gita as it is chapter 1 text 27 page 56. Chant the Sanskrit together. Tan samiksha sakaunteya sarvan bandhun avastitan kripaya paraya vishto vishidan idam abravit. Oh, that's okay. So, 38. Well, make it 39. Page 65. Who gave class last night? Okay, sounds good together. Kulakshaye pranasyanti kuladharma sanatana dharme nashte kulam kritsnam adharmo bibhavatyuta. Translation together. With the destruction of dynasty, the eternal family tradition is vanquished, and thus the rest of the family becomes involved in irreligion. Text 40. Adharma bibhavat krishna padushanti kulastriyaha strishu dushtasu varshneya jayate varnasankaraha. Translation. When irreligion is prominent in the family, O Krishna, the women of the family become polluted, and from the degradation of womanhood, O descendant of Rishni, comes unwanted progeny. Text 41. Sankaro narakayaiva kulagnanam kulasyacha patanti pitaro yesham lupta pindo dakakriyaha. Translation. An increase of unwanted population certainly causes hellish life both for the family and for those who destroy the family tradition. The ancestors of such corrupt families fall down because the performances for offering them food and water are entirely stopped. Text 42. Doshair etai kulagnanam Varna Sankara Karakai Utsadyante Jati Dharma Kulag Dharma Shashvataha. Translation. By the evil deeds of those who destroy the family tradition and thus give rise to unwanted children, all kinds of community projects and family welfare activities are devastated. Text 43. Utsana kula dharmanam manushanam janardana narake niyatam vaso bhavatit yanushushuma. Translation. O Krishna, maintainer of the people, I have heard by disciplic succession that those who destroy family traditions dwell always in hell. Text 44. Aho bhata mahat papam kartum vyavasita vayam yad raja sukha lobhena antum svajanam udyataha. Translation. Alas, how strange it is that we are preparing to commit greatly sinful acts, driven by the desire to enjoy royal happiness, we are intent on killing our own kinsmen. Text 45. Yadimam apritrikaram ashastram shastrapanayaha dartarashtrarane hanyus tanmek shemataram bhavet. Translation. Better for me if the sons of Dhritarashtra, weapons in hand, were to kill me unarmed and unresisting on the battlefield. Text 46. Sanjaya uvacha evam uktvarjuna sankhe ratopasta upavishat visrija sasharam chapam shokasam vigna manasaha. Translation. Sanjaya said, Arjuna, having thus spoken on the battlefield, cast aside his bow and arrows, and sat down on the chariot, his mind overwhelmed with grief. Chapter 2, Text 1. Sanjaya uvacha tam tata kripaya vishtam ashrupurnakulekshanam vishidantam idam vakyam uvacha madhusudanaha. Translation. Sanjaya said, seeing Arjuna full of compassion, his mind depressed, his eyes full of tears, Madhusudana Krishna spoke the following words. And finally, text 2. Sri Bhagavan uvacha kutastva kashmalamidam vishame samupashtitam anayajishtam asvargyam akirti karam arjuna. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting a man who knows the value of life. They lead not to higher planets, but to infamy. One more. Text 3. Klaibhyam masmagama parta naitatva yupapadyate kshudram hridaya darbalyam tvakto tishta parantapa. Translation. O son of Prita, do not yield to this degrading impotence. It does not become you. Give up such petty weakness of heart and arise, O chastiser of the enemy. Going back to 39.
With the destruction of dynasty, the eternal family tradition is vanquished, and thus the rest of the family becomes involved in irreligion.
So I'll read clearly and slowly.
In the system of the Varnashram Institute, there are many principles of religious traditions to help members of the family grow properly and attain spiritual values. The elder members are responsible for such purifying processes in the family, beginning from birth to death. But on the death of an elder members, such family traditions of purification may stop, and the remaining younger family members may develop irreligious habits and thereby lose their chance for spiritual salvation. Therefore, for no purpose should the elder members of the family be slain.
We see this happening all over the world in all different traditions. Each generation seems to get more rebellious against the spiritual principles. Not only spiritual principles, even the morality, not even a spiritual principle, or even common decency or dignity. It seems that every generation just keeps becoming more and more restless and more addicted to demoniac activities. Even the music becomes more and more degraded, more dark. The activities are more dark. So, and they don't respect the elders. They don't think that the elders have anything to give them because they're thinking only in terms of their own sense gratification. But in the Vedic culture, the elders are highly regarded and respected because they know that the elders will maintain the principles of Dharma. It's like we give the example of two of our Indian friends. They came for one of the programs and they brought one of their mothers. She was completely blind, elderly lady, probably 80 or 90. But she was simply chanting japa all the time, constantly. That's what she did. So, what an example. Without that example, then the tradition is lost. But she showed how she had been trained to chant the holy names of the Lord and to depend on Krishna. But in the Vedic, in the Western culture, well, the other problem is that in the Western culture, the people don't become wiser as they grow older. At least in Vedic culture, one is supposed to become wise because he has knowledge and he's practicing Dharma. So he's getting some blessings in his old age. He's getting some realizations. But we see in the West, when the youth is misused, misspent, especially the energy of the body, the vital fluids of the body, when that is wasted, then it affects the vitality of the whole body. That's why we say vitality comes from the vital fluid. Now, modern science is trying to disprove this and say that there's no connection. But if that's the case, why is it that in every single species, anyone who knows, who takes care of either animals or plants or any species, they know that if the semen is stored and not wasted, the entity becomes stronger. This is true in horse racing, bullfighting, in plants. They know if it's allowed to seed, then it loses strength. Especially if this happens when one is young, because that is the growing period. And this vital energy is used for growth and also for intelligence. The vital fluid is meant for nourishing the brain. The brain requires special kind of nourishment. And this, in the Ayurveda, is called sukra. So this sukra or semina, it's not supposed to be put out of the body. It's meant to remain in the body. Then it becomes reabsorbed in the system, the blood system. Then it takes it up to the brain. These finer brain tissues are nourished. So when that is lost, then the brain doesn't get sufficient nourishment. And consequently, not only the brain, but the spinal column, the nervous system, and therefore they get diseases like Alzheimer's and other types of Parkinson's disease, other kinds of neurological diseases. The nerves are not functioning properly. And the brain can't remember, can't function properly. So, they don't know the science. Formerly, even in Western science, they knew. Because they were not biased. They had some moral principles. So, they found out that Yes, that when the vital fluid is wasted, there is a stronger tendency for one to become mentally exhausted. It's called neurasthenia. That was one term. And then that's the beginning, and then it goes further. Schizophrenia, they called that dementia. It's still called dementia. And dementia praecox means when it happens prematurely, when a young person becomes schizophrenic. Young means before reaching the age of 70 or something. If a person becomes schizophrenic, this is, they have analyzed this, that the brain has become weak. So, it is a science, but the young people are wasting their energy, and then when they get old, they can't even remember their name. Can't remember who they are or who their family was. Misuse. And we see the opposite in the case of Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. He's pictured here, fourth from the left on the bottom. At the time he wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he was in his late 90s. He's writing this beautiful poetry about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, the highest philosophy. Oh, do we see anyone in their late 90s writing such literature as Chaitanya Charitamrita? No, not possible. But if one saves his vital energy, lives properly, then in his old age he can perform extraordinarily wonderful activities. Look at Prabhupada. At the age of 70, he began his movement coming to the West. Imagine where the world would be if Prabhupada had not come to the West. What would have happened? Where would we be? What would we be doing now? We certainly wouldn't be hearing Bhagavad Gita. Okay, next verse. Translation.
When irreligion is prominent in the family, O Krishna, the women of the family become polluted, and from the degradation of womanhood, O descendant of Rishni, comes unwanted progeny.
Yes, because the duty of the menfolk is to protect the womenfolk from irreligion. That means the father is supposed to protect his daughter while she's under his care. The husband is supposed to protect his wife from irreligion while she's under his care. Or the sons are supposed to protect their elderly mother from irreligion while she's under their care. If each one of these members does their duty, then there'll be no irreligion amongst the womanhood. Then there'll be proper children. The children will be born pious. But if the women are allowed to be exploited, that means if there's not good protection, then there'll be Varnasankara. Varnasankara means unwanted population. It's like there's so many unwanted births these days. Out of wedlock, out of everything. There's no systematic. Even marriage is not held sacred. And so that means the men have failed. The men have failed to do their duty. Arjuna is saying we have to protect the women folk. We cannot let the women become degraded. But if all these warriors, all the senior members are killed in this battle, then the women will be exploited, there'll be unwanted progeny, and it'll be very bad. So Arjuna, he understands the Vedic principles. But that's all lost now. Even the different religious groups are very disturbed. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to stop the trend towards degradation more and more. And Because now it's becoming, they're putting so much pressure on the religious organizations to submit. Because if they don't, they'll leave that religion and go to a religion that allows it. And they've got these big overheads, and they want to keep their people, and they want to get money, so they submit. They say, yes, all right, it's okay, you can have this immorality and still be a good religious person. But we cannot allow that to happen in Krishna consciousness. We cannot allow that just because we need some money, we have to compromise the principles. Prabhupada, I was just reading, in his last days with us, he was saying, better to keep this institute. He was speaking about Gurukula. So Gurukula and Rupanuga Veda College, it's the same thing, actually. It's the system of education, Vedic education. So, he said, keep it pure. Doesn't matter if not many people come. Just keep it pure. So, that is our... He also said the Gurukula, there should be no women staying in their building there. So, we're trying to follow these instructions. Keep it pure. Pure means simply follow Prabhupada's instructions. We don't have to invent anything. We don't have to concoct. It's like nowadays, it's quite common. People are thinking, well, it's not working properly, so let's add a few things. Let's invent something. Someone's thinking, let's invent some new age psychoanalysis technique. Someone's thinking, let's add this. Let's take something from the American Indians, or let's take something from... But actually, the Vedic culture is the source of all knowledge. It's the source of all material sciences. They all come from the Vedas. So what will we learn by taking something that has been watered down or adulterated? Why not take from the direct, from the source? If you want psychoanalysis, read Bhagavad Gita. What could be a greater discussion between the counselor and the patient? Krishna analyzes everything very nicely. Go on, next text.
An increase of unwanted population certainly causes hellish life, both for the family and for those who destroy the family tradition. The ancestors of such corrupt families fall down because the performances for offering them food and water are entirely stopped.
Yes, there is a system in the Vedic culture that the descendant, the son, especially the eldest son, he's responsible for performing once a year the Pinda ceremony, Shraddha. And the purpose, basically they try to do it in Gaya, and they offer food to Vishnu. And then the prasadam of that offering is offered to the forefathers in their name. And the idea is that if those forefathers may be in a hellish condition, they'll get liberated from that hellish or ghostly condition. Let's say they've become a ghost. By offering that prasad of Vishnu to that person, he'll be relieved from being a ghost or in hell. So that, naturally, that's very good to know if someone falls down, that his descendants will get him out. Just like if you get put in jail. Let's say you go to some kind of country, say you go down to Mexico. So the thing is, in Mexico, you might just get put in jail and no one will even know about it. At least that's how it used to be. I remember when we lived in Los Angeles, everyone was afraid that if you went down to Mexico, you better make sure you take some people with you. And, you know, people should know where you are because you might get put in the jail and they throw away the key and that's it. No one knows where you are. But you like to know that if something happens, there are people who care about you, who will get you out, who will come down there, who will, you know, pay the bail, pay off the jail, get you out, whatever has to be done. So in the same way, the Vedic system is that if someone falls down, then his descendants, they help him. But that means the descendants have to be pious. They have to perform the Shraddha properly. But if they don't, then the forefathers are stranded. So that Arjuna is making that point here. Any questions on any of these so far? Okay, go on. Next text.
By the evil deeds of those who destroy the family tradition and thus give rise to unwanted children, all kinds of community projects and family welfare activities are devastated.
Yes, we say unwanted children should be avoided. At the same time, we don't say abortion is good. Just the opposite. They encourage unwanted children, but then they also kill them. Whereas in the Vedic culture, they don't encourage unwanted children by chastity, but then if a child is born, they don't kill it. They try to give it proper training. We've given the... Now, in Africa, our devotees have arranged for some AIDS orphans. Children that were born, evidently, of parents who had AIDS, so these children also, and they're orphans. They're not able to be raised. So the devotees took them and made them into devotees, these children. And now they're touring around the world chanting Hare Krishna and having quite some impact. They're becoming, there's a group called, Go Cool. Yeah, Go Cool. That's the name of the band. Go, C-O-O-L. Go Cool. Something like that. So, this is an example that with proper training, even though one is lowborn, Mami Partha Vyapashitya Yebishu Papayonaya Striyo Vaishas Tata Shudras Yebi Janti Paramgatim. Even if one is lowborn, he can reach the supreme destination by devotional service. Therefore, it is the duty of the leaders of society to arrange for devotional service for everyone, especially for the youth, should try to arrange. Prabhupada said that all these children that they're aborting, there's a million in America every year that are aborted, he said, give them to us and we'll take care of them. We'll raise them in Krishna consciousness. We're actually doing this in our Chaupati center. They have an orphanage that they inherited and they're training all those children. And I have to admit, I was astounded to see the quality of those children, of their devotional service. They're wonderful. And they were born, they were just rejected, orphans. So it doesn't matter if they're given proper training. They can become wonderful devotees. Go on, next text.
O Krishna, maintainer of the people, I have heard by disciplic succession that those who destroy family traditions dwell always in hell.
Go on. Question.
This word, Janardanya, it's referring to Krishna.
Janardana.
Janarda. It's referring to Krishna. And previously in the text we spoke of yesterday, he was also referred to as the same name. So we were wondering why Arjuna is addressing Krishna as the maintainer of the people. Is he still in a friend kind of relationship, or is he speaking to him as the supreme? Because he hasn't surrendered to him yet. And so we were wondering why he was addressing him as the maintainer of the people, if he's still like his friend and he's still...
Oh. Arjuna knew. Arjuna's a pure devotee, so he knows Krishna's position. And this is one of his names, Janardana. So, yes, the Vedic culture is very poetic. So, and plus in the higher levels of society, they speak very poetically and very beautifully, very respectfully. So certainly, he's offering all respects. He remembers, it's not that Arjuna didn't know that Krishna was God. He knew. The Pandavas knew. It's like at the Rajasuya sacrifice, Sahadev stood up and said, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's no one equal to Him. And if anyone doesn't agree, I'll take my left foot and kick their head. And no one said, no one dared. Sahadev said that. So he saw that everyone accepted. Krishna is the Supreme. Even all the demigods were there. Still, he was honored ahead of the demigods. Also, it's well known that Indra came. Indra tried to defeat him, but Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. That was in his youth. And Brahma stole the cows. These stories were well known. It's not that we know them now, but they didn't know them. They knew all these things. That's why even Shishupal brought it up in the Rajasuya sacrifice. He said, this boy, he was raised as a coward boy, and he had so many girlfriends, we can't even discuss it. Then, he tries to become a Kshatriya, and he marries thousands of wives. Now, what kind of person? He lifted a pebble called Govardhan Hill, and they made a big thing. So they knew that he lifted Govardhan Hill, but the demons took it that it was just a pebble, just a stone, some stone, that it got exaggerated, it got blown out of proportion. So they knew all these things, but the Pandavas knew he was God. So it's not that Arjuna was bewildered. Other question?
Does spiritual realization depend on the condition of the body and the mind?
Does spiritual realization depend on
the condition of the body and the mind? If the body and the mind are deranged, not in good condition, then can one still advance spiritually?
Depend. Let me answer. It depends. I've seen. There was one godbrother of mine, nice advanced devotee. Then he had a stroke, and what happens when sometimes when a person has a stroke, it affects many things. Not only the body sometimes doesn't work properly. In his case, the body, one side of the body didn't work properly, and also the brain was affected. But he was coming to Mayapur. Still he comes. And I was thinking, he used to be, a lucid person, quite intelligent. Now, he's not able to speak very coherently. He's not able to speak properly. And the way he behaves is a bit different. But the thing is, his devotion was still there. His bhakti was still there. The same bhakti. Even though he couldn't speak very well or express himself, but the bhakti was there. So that means, ahoitukya pratiyata, devotional service, is never lost. Neha bikramanashosti pratyavayana vidyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobaya. In this endeavor, there's no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So if one is spiritually advanced, nothing can interfere with that. Now, of course, if one has the body and the mind working properly, well, that's an advantage, certainly. He can read Bhagavad Gita, he can understand philosophy, he can perform devotional service. It's easier. But there's no restriction. Even if someone is not, if by special mercy of the Vaishnavas and the Lord, he may also become Krishna conscious. If even trees and animals can become Krishna conscious, why not a human being who has some impairment of body and mind? Other question? Next verse.
Alas, how strange it is that we are preparing to commit greatly sinful acts. Driven by the desire to enjoy royal happiness, we are intent on killing our own kinsmen.
Atmanam manyate jagat. One thinks that others, he projects his own thoughts, and he thinks that others think like himself. So, certainly Krishna wasn't interested in committing, he wasn't interested in trying to enjoy royal happiness. But Arjuna was feeling that he was a person, he thinks of that others are like him, they think like him. I remember I was speaking with one of my relatives once, and they said, who's the person at the top who's getting all the money? And I said, I know the person at the top of the movement, and he's not enjoying the money. He's living a very simple life. Takes a few chapatis, and just celibate. He's not keeping the money for his sense gratification. And the relative, and I said, why do you think so? And I explained that if I'm just one of his followers, and I've also given up the desire for these things, where do you think I got that from? I must have gotten it from the person at the top. I said, why do you think? And the relative said, no, there must be someone. And I said, why do you think so? They said, because I know if I were at the top, I would be taking advantage. So that was the thing. They couldn't go beyond their own way of thinking. They couldn't imagine that someone could have all that power and not misuse it. People think that power must be misused. They can't imagine using power properly. Go on. Next text.
Better for me if the sons of Dhritarashtra, weapons in hand, were to kill me unarmed and unresisting on the battlefield.
Now he's thinking that he'll be a martyr. No. People like to become martyrs. Just like now you see so many people committing suicide. They're becoming martyrs, they're thinking. I'll die for my country. Or they go to the war. They're very proud. I'll die for my country. I'll be a martyr. I'll die for my religion. I'll die for whatever. So Arjuna is saying, yes, I'll die for righteousness. Someone else was saying, I'll die for nonviolence. Right? He was fasting to death. But Krishna doesn't accept this theory. He doesn't accept this idea of dying for the sake of... He said, yes, dying's all right, but you should die performing your duty as a Kshatriya. For a Kshatriya, dying on the battlefield is glorious, but simply standing there without fighting, that's not glorious for a Kshatriya. Prabhupada himself, he was in kind of a Kshatriya mood at the last stage of his life. He said, I want to get the benediction that I die while preaching Krishna consciousness. So he left Vrindavan in the month of August, late August, when I remember I was there in England when he arrived. We had no idea he was coming. It was a sudden... Suddenly he decided to go at midnight, and they left the next morning. And they flew in, and we just heard a few hours before Prabhupada's coming. And when Prabhupada arrived, he was simply bones. It was shocking to see him. Nobody travels like that. But Prabhupada wanted to die on the battlefield. He said, it doesn't matter whether I die in Vrindavan or I die in the temples or with the Vaishnavas, it's all Vaikuntha. So there's no difference where I die, because I'm going out on the mission for preaching. He wasn't concerned about that. Any questions?
Sometimes devotees try to thwart bank robberies. I was wondering if that's proper dharma.
Well, depends on how you do it. If you thwart it by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, or Namaste Narasimhaya Prahlada Lada Daine Hiranyakashi Purvakshaha Shilatan Kanakalae Tavakarakam Alabare Nakam Adbhuta Shingam Dalita Hiranyakashi Putanu Bringam. It's like we were hearing, there was one devotee on Sankirtan in Germany, and he was having some difficulty with one person. The person was getting quite violent. And he started saying the Nisringadevas loudly. And one of the female Sankirtan devotees, she was around the corner, she heard it, and she came over, and she started throwing that man all over the place. She was big, strong. She started throwing that man all over the place and got him out of there. So, depends how you want to... how you do it. One time the devotees in Australia, there was a fire. And the devotees helped some of the people jump. They saved some of the people in the building. So it was a big thing in the newspaper, and they got a lot of positive public relations, and Prabhupada was pleased. He said, see, our devotees, they do everything good. They're good for society. So, it's not that a devotee should go around trying to go to banks waiting outside to see if there's some robbery so they can thwart it. But naturally, just by a devotee's good behavior, so many good things will happen. Like, isn't it? If a devotee's present, he's very polite, so people, naturally, he'll be respectful to elders. He doesn't have to artificially practice to become respectful to elders. Naturally, the elders will feel happy by being in his association because he's polite and he's kind to everyone. He's respectful. These are the good qualities of a devotee.
How does the philosophy stand, or how does Krishna consciousness believe if someone wants to return something to its rightful owner by force? Like, say, you know, we want to rob a bank and use the money for Krishna, or or you take something from somebody else to use it in Krishna's service because it really actually belongs to Krishna. Or
generally, it's not recommended.
Not recommended.
There may be some extraordinary exceptions. Ramanujacharya's, there was some group that was an exception. But generally speaking, it's not recommended. Now, if one is a Kshatriya, in Kshatriya, he's the government. And if he sees that someone is cheating, then it's his duty to give it back, to arrange. That's what Krishna is telling Arjuna. This rogue has usurped the kingdom. I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna is speaking. He's taken away the kingdom. It should be used for my purpose, so take it back. So when Krishna personally dictates take it back, then yes. But generally we should not take the law into our own hands. The Kshatriyas, though, can do that. Because they're supposed to be in charge of the law. Like Arjuna, Yudhisthira. Does that answer your question? Yeah?
But the Kshatriyas are supposed to follow the Brahmanas. So as a Brahmana, would we instruct them that that would be a good thing?
Like in the case of Vena, King Vena, the Brahmanas, yes, they instructed he should be removed. He's a cheater. He's a demon. There may be some extraordinary cases like that. But in this particular circumstance, Prabhupada instructed us that we can bring about change by chanting Hare Krishna. All the bad things will change if we just go on chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Shishigorni Tai.